It is well with my soul. And tonight, our devotion, Lamentation of a Depressed Soul, Part 2. You recall last week, Job asked three questions. After all the calamity that befell him, three of his friends came to mourn, sit with him. And for 7 days, there was total quietness. No one speaks. But after 7 days, Job speak the anguish of his mind. And you recall last week, we saw how he asked the question, why was he born? And today we are going to look at the second question, why did I not die earlier? Verses 11 to 19. And next week we shall see the third expression of his anguish. Why am I still alive? Verse 20 to 26. We realize that a man who is suffering from affliction as a result of trial in the faith that God gives to such a person faces a tremendous challenge in life. At that moment, he could not understand the happenings, and the physical discomfort, the physical anguish is so overwhelming. And it was at that moment that you find many unbecoming thoughts can challenge our mind, bringing it into a state of distress, depression, bringing it to a state of utter dejection. And it is in those moments that our Lord says that your faith that is being tried is more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. He's speaking about the sufferings that God would allow his children to go through in life. And he tells them that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He tells us that during those times of anguish, we are to keep faith, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The weight of God's presence is with you during those times of anguish. And as we think about it, you'll find that emotionally we will be tossed. And physically, we may be suffering. And mentally, we may be pressed. And so, in such pressing trials, how does the Christian respond? How is the Christian to react? How is the Christian to handle such crisis in life? So, for Job, he was faced with this great anguish that came upon his soul. I remember we said this, that how important it is during those times that we have to realize that God has not departed from us. God has not left us, forsaken us. So the mind has to take hold of the promises of God during that time. You recall last week we gave this verse of encouragement from Isaiah 41:10, and I would urge you to memorize it so that in the time of need, you would be able to recall it and use it, because your emotions, your suffering, the happenings that are around you, you won't be able to explain, and you have to handle at that time. And so what can hold your mind, what can hold you in those times of anguish? It is the word of God. So the prophet Isaiah says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 41:10. And it is in those times where we cannot see the way ahead, as it were. We cannot see how we can pass the next moment of our life, that we would need during that time to exercise faith, to trust in God, to handle the trial that God has brought our way. You remember we spoke also about Paul's words to the church in Corinth. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye shall be able to bear it." And so we need to take hold of God's word. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and be able, by understanding, in the heart, in the spirit, to overcome, the mental, emotional, physical state. And you would find that this will be the challenge that God will give to His people during that time of trial. And so it can be very overwhelming, but it is not the end of the road, as it were. If you were to, we all look in hindsight at Job's life, right? He was going through all this calamity. But we are able to see the happily ever after ending of his life story in chapter 42, after his trial. And we are also able to take hold of God's word when Peter says that the trial of your faith would be temporarily. It will be a temporal time where you would be pressed, you'll be facing this time, and you are to endure, and you are to keep faith, and you are to keep trusting God, never to give up during that time of anguish. What did Job do in the first 10 verses? We saw how he was suffering so much, he was hurting so much that he began to forget the blessings that he and his family had enjoyed for so many years. And he started giving very discouraging, faithless words. And he articulated it or them in the sight of his friends who, were not, we said, of a spiritually matured stature. Because later on, they would use all these words to attack him. They would use all these words to run him down. And so he had to, in hindsight, we said, let us think, how we are to respond in the time of our trial. The best antidote is to speak to God. And later on we'll see how the psalmist goes to God in prayer, airs all his discomforts to God, and how the Lord hears our prayer, and how God bestows a peace that passes understanding into the heart of his servant who cried to him for help. But for Job, he was expressing his grief and sorrow, his lament, and it seemed that, well, he perhaps thought that his friends would understand, would sought to understand what he was going through, would sought to be a comfort to him in the midst of his trials. But he would be sadly mistaken, as he would find out later. You know, we recall he said, "Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above. Let darkness and shadow stain it. Let the cloud dwell in it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it." So, you know, he was full of gloom and doom. It was all over him. And because of his physical state, we can understand what he was going through. And yet, you'll find that it is during the time of our trial that we need most to submit to the will, to the authority of God during those times of trial. And you would recall, as we said earlier, how he gave an initial good response, right? He said, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he chided also his wife. "Can God give good and not evil? Why should we, how can we blame God?" So, you know, those were two statements that were made during the initial encounter of calamity that came upon him. But as the time stretched, you'll find that it becomes, that's where the trial is. That's where the challenge is. That's where the Lord wants us to bear the spiritual fruit, right, of patience, of long-suffering, of waiting upon him in the time of trial. And that will be the test. And the Lord wants to see this such fruit in our lives. And he allows us to go through such trials. So verse 11, the beginning of our second thought. Why did I not die earlier? So he gave four questions. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? He lamented in his four griefs with four questions of despondency. He says, why was I not stillborn? Why did he not die as an infant after he was born? Why did he not die? Why is he allowed to live to such an age? Why did those knees receive me? Sun Do, he observed well in this point. He says, in Job's day, a father would be given the infant, and he would bless the child as an infant was placed in the father's knee. So the father would receive the child that would come, right, and he would bless the child. Right. So he says that, you know, why all this good things that has come to me since my birth? And why was I nourished in my by my mother's breast? Why was I nourished? So he says, in other words, why was he allowed to be nourished up and be faced with such calamity in his life now? He felt that his life journey should have been ended at the beginning, for he was nourished and strengthened to confront this misery in this stage of his life. So he asked himself, is it worth it? And he tells himself, it don't seem to add up. I think it's not worth it. It's too much for me to bear. I cannot take it anymore. This was his response. This was his reaction. And you would find that in the times of our trial, this can happen to us. Right? And therefore, you'll find this is where we must not be too hard upon ourselves. When you find yourself in this state, but at the same time, we need to learn from Job's example, right, that we are weak, right, that we realize that we are weak, and we ask God that through our prayers to endow us with the strength to overcome, to endow us with the strength to go through what we have to go through. All the nourishing seem to be a futile effort if it has to end like that for him. He was not able at this point in his life to see any hope forward. The losses he had to bear had been so tremendous. You recall we were mentioning about the billionaire in Germany who threw himself in front of the train after the financial crisis of the last financial storm, 2007-2008 time frame. He just could not face his family. He felt that his world has crashed over him, or his world has given way under him, and so he has lost every hope, and he don't see any way forward for him anymore. He doesn't want to live as a pauper, to lose all his wealth, right? And he felt that he cannot take the shame, he cannot take the fall, and he threw himself in front of the train, and he died a terrible death. The losses Job had to bear had been so tremendous. And at this point, I'm reminded of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, suffering much physical abuse. He was betrayed. He was deserted by his disciples, sentenced to crucifixion, the death penalty. And when he was at Gethsemane, he prayed and cried. And this is recorded in Luke chapter 22, verses 41 to 44. And it's interesting, right, how our Lord handled the trials to come in life. He says, and he was withdrawn from them about the stones cast and kneeled down and prayed. So he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So in his humanity, he realized that this is great pain, great sorrow, great anguish that he will have to face soon. His divinity tells him that yes, all this has to come to pass, and he would be suffering, right, the whipping, the breaking of his flesh, the bleeding, the kneeling to the cross. Then you notice our text in Luke 21:43 says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Now, where does angel come from, or where does angels live? Our text tells us that angels live in heaven. And where are they? Where do they come from? They are sent from heaven, from the throne of God. And what do they do when they are sent? You find how the angel was sent to strengthen our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord that we are not alone in our struggle in life. God is with us. And you can be sure that he knows your sorrow. Jesus, the Bible tells us, was at all points tempted. He knows what you are going through. He has gone through it himself in his humanity. And therefore, he is able to understand what you are going through. Okay. So, if you have no one to turn to, there's no one you can talk to, no one who will understand you, no one who would comfort you, you know that you have the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows what you are going through, and who is at the right hand of the Father, praying for you, interceding for you. He is the great high priest that is appointed by the Father to ensure that you will pass the test, to ensure that you will go through the trial. So these thoughts must be in our hearts. Right? These thoughts must be in our mind when we are going through trials, right? To know that you are not alone. Right? That the grace of God will not cause that fire of life that is kindled in your heart to be extinguished during the time of your anxiety, during the time of your trial, during your time of your despondency. So it was during the time of extreme anguish that we have to pray for God's grace to enable us to face our difficulty, whatever that may be. And the angel was sent to strengthen our Lord Jesus Christ. J.C. Rao, he make a very apt comment to this text. He says, "Let us take care that we use our master's remedy. If we want comfort in affliction, whether other means of relief we use, whatever other means of relief we use," he says, "let us pray. The first friend we should turn to ought to be God. The first message we should send ought to be to the throne of grace. No depression of spirits must prevent us. No crushing weight of sorrow must make us dumb. It is a prime device of Satan to supply the afflicted man with false reasons for keeping silence before God." So we have this appointed Wednesday night prayer meeting. No reason why we shouldn't be here. We don't have to be called to come, but God has to put in us, right, to know our spiritual need. And therefore, we come. Right? Let us beware of the temptation to brood suddenly over our wounds. If we can say nothing else, what we can say, "I'm oppressed, Lord, undertake for me." And J.C. Rao further advised, he says, secondly, in these verses, what kind of prayers a believer ought to make to God in time of trouble. Once more, the Lord Jesus himself affords a model to his people. We are told that he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So he asked that, "God, please relieve me of this burden. But if it's your will that you want me to handle this burden, then I will. I will bear under it. Give me the strength to bear under it. Not my will be done." He meant that will which he had as a man with a body, flesh and blood like our own. And so the language used by our blessed master in this place shows exactly what should the spirit of a believer's prayer in his distress. Like Jesus, he should tell his desires openly to his heavenly Father and spread his wishes unreservedly before him, But like Jesus, he should do it with all, with entire submission of will to the will of the God, to the will of the Father. And so you see, this chapter 3 ought to be a chapter of prayer to God. Had Job, as we ponder, had Job not uttered, had he kept silence, what would it be? Well, his friends would not have the opportunity to misunderstand him and to apply their faulty theology to corner him. But the Lord allowed it. Chapter 3. And chapter 3 is the most difficult chapter in the Bible, we say, for a man. Right? Going through tough time. And so the Lord wants us to think and consider and ponder what we will do in the midst of all our affliction. Remember we said he was initially submitted, right? You remember? He shaved his head, he wore sackcloth, and he sat down and he worshipped God. He did not charge God foolishly. But what happened now? Well, he did not charge God foolishly, but he was expressing, as it were, the anguish of his soul from what he has been, what has come to his heart, what has come to his mind. Can we respond to deep agony in our lives? Verse 13 of our text. For now, should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. He was unable to sleep. He was tossing awake in his pain and misery. It was so unbearable physically and emotionally, so overwhelming. Spiritually, it seemed to have discomforted him. And in Psalm 25, we may be able to see a different example, how the psalmist spoke to God in prayer. He says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Psalm 25, verse 12 to 18. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Sundo, he said, well, he was not at ease, he was not quiet, he was not at rest, but he was full of turmoil. Well, this is the heart of a distressed man. And the Lord allowed his anguish to be displayed openly for us to learn. Verse 14, with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver. You recall, he was the richest man in the east. He was a tycoon, right, wielding much influence and living the high life. Barnes said rightly, he says, he would have been numbered with kings and princes. Is there not here a little spice of ambition, even in his sorrow and humiliation? Job had been an eminently rich man, a man greatly honored an emir, a magistrate, one of those presence even one in whose presence even princes refrained talking, and before whom nobles held their peace. So this was who he was. He was such a person, and now, you know, everything has changed for him. And you realize that when age comes to our heart, to our life, the things that we used to be able to do, we won't be able to do anymore. And we would need to be able to grapple with these physical changes that would come to us. And it is a path that each one of us will have to go through. And we would need to have that preparation of heart and mind, and still we have to go through. But in the spirit, I think, you know, God would enable us, cause us to be able to understand, and His spirit to deliver us. Verse 16. Or as an untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. So now, Barnes further observed, he was stripped of his honors, made to sit in ashes, and had he died when he was an infant, he would have been numbered with kings and court sellers and would have shared their lot. Death is repulsive. But Job takes comfort in the thought that he would be associated with the most exalted and honorable among people. Right? We want to bath in those times of our prosperity. And it seems, you know, that we don't want to depart from those times. But you see that these are the seasons of life. These are the seasons of life. And we pass through the various seasons of life. And the Lord wants us to learn, see, and be able to come to terms with life and the trials that God would put our way. And you would find that you have no explanation. You won't be able to, Job in his lifetime never understood what happened in heaven. He never understood why all these things happened. But he had the faith, to the strength that God gives to him through his word to go through. The same for you. God will give you the strength. God will give you the faith. God will give you the courage to go through. Verse 17. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. The grave is a silencer, Matthew Henry says, for both the wicked and for the weary. When the persecutors die, they can no longer persecute. He gave the example of Herod. Remember Herod? How he vexed the church. And when he became a prey for worms, he ceased from troubling. Had Job been at rest in his grave, he would have had no disturbance from the Sabians or the Chaldeans. None of all his enemies would have created all these troubles that he would have to go through. Verse 18 and 19. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servants are free from his master. There the weary are at rest. Heaven is more than a rest for the soul of the saints, but the grave is a rest to their bodies. Their pilgrimage is a weary pilgrimage. Sin and the world they are weary of. Their services, suffering, expectations they are wearied with. But in the grave they rest from all their labors. They are easy there and make no complaints. There believers sleep in Jesus. You'll find that there is an appointed time for each one of us. But as long as the Lord deems it that we will remain upon this earth, then we must courageously live on. We must courageously look to God for His purpose and courageously seek the Lord for His mercy to do His will in the days of our living. So may the Lord bless our hearts as we meditate upon a situation in a man's life that none of us would like to go through. And yet, there are some seasons that we face such. And therefore, we would need these lessons from Job's life to help us handle these challenges if God would put us through. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your word. Thank Thee for Your mercy in showing us Your word. May You comfort Your people with Your word and strengthen us with Your grace. As we look at the affliction of Job, we also realize that this affliction was allowed from Thee as a test of his faith. So Lord, we are looking in hindsight, and we thank Thee that there's a hindsight to the life of faith that we can take hold of to explain our the situations in our own life. Therefore, Lord, may Your comfort be, may You minister comfort upon Your children who may be going through times of affliction. May You strengthen them, bless them with Your presence and Your consolation. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.